भगवद्गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 9 द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज टेक्स्ट नंबर 26 वन ऑफ द फेमस वर्सेस ऑफ भगवद्गीता काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदहं भक्ति उपहृतम्
तदहं भक्ति उपहृतम्
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम्
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम्
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम्
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम्
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदहं भक्त्युपहृतम्
तदहं भक्त्युपहृतम्
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदाहं भक्ति उपहृतम्
तदाहं भक्ति उपहृतम्
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम्
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम्
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम्
तदहं भक्त्या उपहृतम् अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम्
यः वर्स बुक वर्स बुक
वर्स बुक मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति
तदहं
भक्त्या
उपहृतम्
अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
माताजी
पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम् यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति तदहं भक्त्युपहृतम् अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम् यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति तदहं भक्त्युपहृतम् अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः
पत्रं अ लीफ
पुष्पं
अ फ्लावर फलं अ फ्रूट तोयं वाटर यः whoever.
Unto me.
Bhaktya.
With devotion.
Prayachati.
Offers.
Tat.
That.
Aham.
I.
Bhakti Uparatam.
Offered in devotion.
Ashnami.
Accept.
Prayatatmanah.
From one in pure consciousness.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Purport. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. In order to achieve a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness, the process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor, without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one therefore can be barred from Krishna consciousness, because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity bliss and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone, because he is self-sufficient, and yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti or devotional service is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a brahmana or a learned scholar or a very niche man or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. The process is eternal. It is direct action in the service to the absolute whole. Here, Lord Krishna, having established that He is the only enjoyer, the primeval Lord, and the real object of all sacrificial offerings, reveals that what type of sacrifices He desires to be offered. If one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Supreme in order to be purified and to reach the goal of life, the transcendental loving service of God, then one should find out what the Lord desires of him. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. Thus meat, fish and eggs should not be offered to Krishna. If he desired such things as offerings, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, fruit, flower and water be given to him. And he says of this, if he desired such a things as offerings, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, fruit, flowers and water be given to him. And he says of this offering, I will accept it. Therefore, we should understand that he will not accept meat, fish and eggs. Vegetables, grains, fruits, milk and water are the proper foods for human beings and are prescribed by Lord Krishna himself. Whatever else we eat cannot be offered to him, since he will not accept it. Thus we cannot be acting on the level level of loving devotion if we offer such fruits. In the third chapter, verse 13, Sri Krishna explains that only the remains of sacrifice are purified and fit for consumption by those who are seeking advancement in life and release from the clutches of the material entanglement. Those who do not make an offering of their food, he says in the same verse, are eating only sin. In other words, their every mouthful is simply deepening their involvement in complexities of material nature. But preparing nice, simple vegetable dishes, offering them before the picture or deity of Lord Krishna, and bowing down and praying for him to accept such a humble offering enable one to advance steadily in life, to purify the body and to create fine brain tissues which will lead to clear thinking above all. Above all, the offering should be made with an attitude of love. Krishna has no need of food since he already possesses everything that we, yet he will accept the offering of one who desires to please him in that way. The important element in preparation, in serving and in offering is to act with love for Krishna. The impersonalist philosophers who wish to maintain that the absolute truth is without senses cannot comprehend this verse of Bhagavad Gita. To them it is either a metaphor or proof of mundane character of Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. But in actuality, Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, has senses, and it is stated that his senses are interchangeable. In other words, one sense can perform the function of any other. This is what it means to say that Krishna is absolute. Lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. In the 7th chapter, Krishna has explained that he impregnates the living entities into material nature. This is done by his looking upon material nature, and so in this instance, Krishna's hearing the devotee's words of love in offering foodstuff is wholly identical with his eating and actually tasting. This point should be emphasized. Because of his absolute position, his hearing is wholly identical with his eating and tasting. Only the devotee who accepts Krishna as he describes himself without interpretation can understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth can eat food and enjoy it. ओम ध्यानतिमृन्दस्यज्ञानान्यनश्लाघया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुं जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्दश्रीमतिगुरुश्रीवासुदेवोत्तम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम साधु साधु तदायनाथ This is as you all saw, this is a long purport. There are many topics discussed in this purport based on the verse. First and foremost is super excellence of devotional service. Super excellence of devotional service means, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna spoke of different yogas, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga and bhakti yoga. So he ultimately says that bhakti yoga is topmost, and he wanted everyone to adopt it. Of course, some people may not directly adopt it because of their conditioning. So somebody would be attached to work, somebody would be attached to philosophical speculation, study of philosophy. So like that, different people, because of their conditioning, they may not directly take. But Krishna encouraged it, that they should take to bhakti yoga. Basically, he only wanted to speak about bhakti yoga, but contextual analysis. And also to establish the superiority of bhakti yoga, you have to speak something which is below that, right? So, therefore, Lord Krishna spoke different yoga systems, and ultimately he explained bhakti yoga as topmost, and he encouraged everyone to come to Bhakti Yoga. Some can come this side, or some path is required. So this super excellence of devotional service, this is the meaning, how Bhakti is topmost yoga system. So that is supermost process, that is the highest path. Krishna wants us to take to that process. Like in the end also he says, sarva dharmam paritejya mam ekam sharanam manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaro mam evaishyasi yuktvaiva matmanam atparayana or maima evaishyasi satyam te pratijanihi priyosini. Two times it comes. So in this way, this is the meaning of super excellence of devotional service. But this super excellence of devotional service is described or analyzed in this purport in two ways. One is that this bhakti yoga is very simple and very easy to perform. But simultaneously it gives marvelous result. Prabhupada uses this word, marvelous result. So that is one way it is discussed. Another way is that bhakti yoga is the only means to approach Lord. So that is another way super excellence of devotional service is discussed. That means other yogis also, if they want to attain God, attain Lord or attain God realization, they have to come to the platform of devotional service. Bhakti yoga is the only process to approach Supreme Lord. That point, two points are being discussed here. So first one, that how bhakti is very simple, very easy, but simultaneously produces marvelous result. Here we see Krishna says, before we go to that point about this super excellence of devotional service, contextually also if you see this whole series of verses here in Bhagavad Gita, 9 point, towards the end of this 9th chapter, before all are those verses before this, Krishna speaks about karmakanda, worship of demigods, and doing different sacrifices mentioned in the three Vedas, Trividyamam, Somapa, Putapapa. So, like that, Krishna speaks about karmakanda, performing sacrifices. And then Krishna speaks about, he condemns demigod worship. So basically futility of karmakanda and demigod worship. Then Krishna says, what are the advantages of doing devotional service to him? So how he personally protects those devotees, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Then all this demigod worship is, those who worship me, it's avidhi purvakam. That those who are worshippers of demigod, they do not know. So Prabhupada, he gives example in the purport that we should supply food to the stomach, not to hands, legs and all. Right. So all these demigods are, they are different limbs of the Supreme Lord. So if you worship Supreme Lord, then automatically all the demigods also are pleased. So that's point we have to understand. So like that Prabhupada explains. And he also, we should not bribe the government officers. We should, we should directly please the Supreme. So like that. Then he says that I am the center of all the sacrifices. How he is the center of Varnashram Dharma? How he is the center of, Karmakanda? So Karmakanda, ultimately everything is meant to be offered to him. And those who worship demigods, they will go to places of demigods. But those who worship me, they will come to me. What is the advantage of going to Krishna? Because if you go to Krishna, previously in the last chapter, Krishna has explained that they will never take birth again in this world. Yam prapyamam nivartante tadhama paramam mama, like that. So in this way, Krishna explains the super excellence. But contextually, if you see, it is in relation with karmakanda and demigod worship. So, and in other places of Bhagavad Gita, how it is superior to jnana, how it is superior to bhakti, superior to yoga. So throughout Bhagavad Gita, you will see this again and again, repeats, especially in the first six chapters, seven. So throughout Bhagavad Gita, first six chapters also. So in this way we see that a super excellence of devotional service. And in this purport, the super excellence of devotional service is explained in two ways, as I mentioned. One is that it is supermost, a very easy and simple method, but gives marvelous result. Now, what about other processes? If you take karma kanda, karma, so it is very difficult process. You have to perform so many sacrifices, please so many demigods, and all the ingredients which are required for sacrifices, qualified brahmanas, so you know, milk products, ghee, so all those things are very difficult to arrange. So almost it is, shastras in other places we see that it's not possible to do this. And there are so many demigods, how many demigods you will worship? 33 crore demigods are there. So, and we all take advantage from them. Devarshi Bhutat, Ranam Pitrinam, King Karo Yamna, Nani Charajan. So therefore it is told that we take advantage, we become indebted to them. So, but if you go on paying the debt of all these people or fulfilling the obligation towards all these people, so it is very difficult for us. It's practically impossible. So karma is difficult. Jnana, most of the people in this world, they will not be philosophical, right or not? That's why Vyasadeva, he wrote Mahabharata and other Puranas. Because people do not like to, like in Mahabharata, there are two portions of Mahabharata which are very important. One is Vishnu Sahasranama and another is Bhagavad Gita. Both come in Bhishma Parva. So, and Bhagavad Gita is a philosophical treatise. So historical narration, historical stories he gave in Mahabharata, and along with that he taught some principles of dharma, and especially he put this Bhagavad Gita there so that people understand this knowledge, but most of the people they do not even, and he said that this Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata is meant for less intelligent people. So even such book in which Bhagavad Gita was kept, they are not able to understand Bhagavad Gita. So philosophically, one has to study Sanskrit for so many years and other Vedangas to cultivate knowledge, and then Vedanta, we know that. So there are six Vedangas, Vyakarna, Nyaya, Shiksha, Kalpa, Jyotisha, like that, Chanda. So these are six Vedangas. Before studying Vedas, we have to study Vedangas. Then after studying Vedangas, then we have to study even meanings of the words, Dhatus, Shabda Kosha also you have to memorize meanings of the words. Then not necessary that you will get the right meaning. There are so many meanings. Which one to choose. So most of the followers of the Vedas also, they become bewildered therefore. So there was one very learned Brahmana, Tapan Mishra, in East Bengal. He studied all the Vedas. In the end, he could not come to any conclusion. He was completely bewildered. Then someone suggested, oh, Nimai Pandit has come from Navadvip here, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to earn some money there by teaching Brahmin profession, by teaching some Vedangas, Vyakarna, etc. So some wealth he wanted to earn. That time paper money was not there. So mostly some gold coins maybe. So he went to earn some wealth there, and someone suggested Tapan Mishra, oh, Nimai Pandit is very learned, you go and ask him. So then he came and asked. Nimai Pandit. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed him that how Krishna is the goal of the Vedas. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vedascha sarve ahameva vedyo vedanta krad veda videva chaham. So I am to be known through the Vedas. So like that, jnana, purpose of cultivating knowledge is to find Krishna. But most of the people who cultivate knowledge, Vedic knowledge, they do not find Krishna. Therefore in Brahma Samhita it is said, Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktu. So in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna compared Vedas to a dense forest, dark forest. So one enters into the forest, then he will not know where to go, where to come out, which is the path. So in this way, so people get bewildered. And Vedanta, to understand, that is Vedanta, Krishna is Vedanta, or Bhakti is the Vedanta, Bhakti Vedanta. So process of Jnana is also very difficult. Then Ashtanga Yoga, you have to go to Himalaya, Sucho Deshe Pratishtapya. So it is told, Sucho Deshe, go to the secluded places. People went to Himalayas. So performed lot of austerities, brahmacharya, and standing upside down, pressing the nose, so many things. And what about grahasthas? How they will do Ashtanga Yoga? They cannot go to, right or not? Not everyone can do that. Only few selected people. So therefore all these processes are very difficult. But bhakti is very easy. What Krishna says, just offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit. So I will accept it, he says. So there is one verse in Gautamiya Tantra. And it is also there in Vishnu Smriti also. Tulasi dhala matrena jalasya chulukena va. So Lord becomes pleased, just by little tulasi leaf, one tulasi leaf, and jalasya chulukena va, little Ganga jal, you know, Ganges water. And in that verse it says, in the next line, when devotee offers these two things, tulasi leaf and water, so Lord, he is so much bhakta vatsala, he becomes so much obliged to his devotees that he solds himself to them. He solds out himself to them. So this is the potency of bhakti, love for Krishna. Loving devotional service to Krishna, bhakti yoga. Just by little tulasi leaf and water, you can purchase Krishna. So it is so powerful, it is. Bhakti is so powerful. It is said that it is more powerful than Lord himself. No one is powerful than Lord, but bhakti is more powerful than Lord. We see that, no? All Yashoda bound Krishna. So Yashoda binds Krishna. So all the yogis are trying to capture Krishna within their, you know, meditation, you know, their. So they run with the speed of the mind, but Krishna runs faster than their minds. And they cannot catch him. But Mother Yashoda catches Krishna. Our Lord agrees to be caught by Krishna, Mother Yashoda, and bind. So in this way we see that, this is one example, that bhakti is more powerful than Krishna himself. He becomes obliged, he sells off himself. In this way it is very simple. And here Prabhupada, he speaks that even poorest of the poor, without any kind of qualification, so one can perform this and attain marvelous result. So even if you don't have tulasi leaf, even if you don't have any Ganga jal to offer to Krishna, any fruit to offer Krishna, just sit and meditate on this. Then you will get result. You know that there is a story in that Purana. Which Purana it is? Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So in Brahma Vaivarta Purana there is a Varaha Purana? one of the Puranas, there is a story of one Brahmin in Pratishthanapura on the bank of the Godavari, somewhere here in Telangana, Andhra happened. So he was very poor, and like this, when discourse was going on Bhagavad Gita, he heard that, oh, Lord can be pleased in a very simple way. You don't need any material articles also. So if you are poor, you can just sit and meditate on the service of the Lord. So that means he took bath in Godavari, and he made a asana on the bank of the Godavari and sat there. He did pranayama to control his mind, because to meditate you need sense control and mind, you know, control of mind. Mind will just run here and there. So he sat in meditation and started meditating on the service of the Lord. So first he collected waters from all the rivers, then bathed the Lord, deity form of the Lord. Then wiped with a cloth and dressed them. Then he cooked so kheer, sweet rice for them, for the deities. Then so he was supposed to offer that kheer. Generally kheer is offered cold. The more it is cold, it is sweet. Not by putting in the refrigerator. Should be cooled naturally. So then it becomes sweet. Or in general, we don't offer very hot, you know, right, or not super hot. Because, you know, Lord is small boy, he cannot eat hot, no? Right or not. So we don't immediately just from the stove, you should not put it in front of. But it should not be too cold also. But kheer is exceptional. It can be offered cold. So in general it should be hot or warm, but it should not be super hot. Then he just thought, oh, I have made this, it should not be super hot, very hot for the Lord. So then what he did, he wanted to test whether it is cooled down or not. He touched that and immediately his hand burnt. Now this is all happening in the meditation, but when he opens his eyes and sees that his hand is actually burnt. There in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayana is sitting and seeing this and laughing. Then Lakshmi Devi asked, why you are laughing? So then I will tell you. Then he sent Vishnu Dutas and, you know, asked to bring this devotee back. So then this devotee went back to Godhead. And then so Lord explained about him to Lakshmi Devi. So Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains many angas of bhakti. One of the angas of bhakti is meditation. Meditation on the service of the Lord. Of course, we are not able to meditate on holy name. Our mind is... Not everyone can do this. But if our mind is controlled, then we can do this. Still we will get the result. So just like this devotee. So what was the marvelous result he attained? So he went back home, back to Godhead, just by sitting and meditating. So it is not that, oh, one has to be rich to be a devotee. Sometime in ISKCON, this was the idea, trend in, you know. So, because mostly preaching was concentrated on in cities now also. So people think that, oh, to become a ISKCON devotee, you need to be a very rich person. So like that. Even poorest of the poor, Prabhupada here writes, the process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. One need not be a brahmana or learned scholar or a great this, that. You know, one should be a devotee, simple devotee. And that's why Prabhupada, he explains what is, defines what is bhakti also in this purport. There are a lot of topics in this purport. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept any one. Bhakti is never causal. The process is eternal. It is direct action in the service to the absolute whole. We'll come to this point again. So that the poorest of the poor can also attempt. And here there is one word that it is very easy, universal, simple, and produces marvelous result. Then Prabhupada writes, who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss and knowledge? This statement, this Bhagavad Gita as it is, was published in 1968. Prabhupada wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita in 40s only. Somehow that old manuscript was lost. Some doubt that his wife sold it for a chai wala to purchase chai powder. So, but anyway, so Prabhupada wrote this again in 1968 and published it. So when this was published, this statement was very famous in ISKCON. Everyone would quote this. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss and knowledge? So this was very, who is that fool? Because instead of taking to this simple process, foolish people, you know, if they think, oh, I will do karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, then they are foolish. And this purport, Prabhupada starts this purport. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode of eternal happiness. So after reading Bhagavad Gita or hearing Bhagavad Gita, if you develop some intelligence, then we should be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So nothing else. So that is the point. And this point that Lord can be approached only through bhakti. So now, after speaking karma kanda and demigod worship, Krishna speaks that, oh, you offer me a leaf, flower, fruit, then I will accept it. Because this word bhakti too comes here two times. So therefore, there's emphasis is there that only by bhakti one can please the Lord. So one can approach the Lord. No other process. So even if someone is following other processes, result would be different. Not that everyone, whatever path you follow. So that Vivekahina Swami, he told, Yatama Tatabhat, whatever path you follow, you will reach to same goal. So all paths lead to the same goal. But it's not like that. Because in the previous verses, just in 25th verse, Krishna spoke just before this, Yanti Deva Vratha Devan, Pitrin Yanti Pitrivrata, Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja, Yanti Madhya, Jinopi Mam. So that those who worship demigods, they will go to the demigods. Those who worship Pitras, they will go to Pitra Loka. Those who worship Bhutas and Pretas, Ghosts. Some people worship ghosts, no? Right? So they will go to, they will ghostly species. But those who worship me, they will come back to me. In this way, by serving Krishna, by worshipping Krishna, we will go to Krishna. Or unless we do this devotional service, Krishna consciousness, so we will not be able to approach Krishna. Not that you do demigod worship and karma kanda, then you will go to Krishna. So that is not possible. And the other point is that even if someone is doing other yoga, following other processes of yoga processes, to attain the result of those processes also needs the help of bhakti. So because no other process other than bhakti is independent. So jnanis, yogis, they want to attain their goal of merge, Brahman realization or Paramatma realization. So they all need to do devotional service. And so like that, bhakti is the only process which is independent and it can take us to Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is very emphasized. Another point about that previous thing that we will discuss, that you don't need to even, we can offer water, you know, and we can offer leaf, and then I also said that you don't even need to offer also, you can just sit and meditate. So we should not take excuse for that, that oh, now Lord has told only leaf, flower and fruit. So I will use all the wealth for my sense gratification and for Lord I will not give anything. Some people may take excuse of that also. So everything, the main thing here is bhakti means, why Lord Krishna, in the next verse Krishna will tell that whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give in charity, everything you offer it as an offering to me. So point is Atma Samarpan, we have to surrender everything, dedicate everything to Krishna, self-surrender. So that is bhakti, sharanagati. So whether we have more or less, everything should be for Krishna. So everything should be offered to Krishna. So like that. And means our acharyas have designed our life like that. Everything, we make Krishna as center in the home. So, and whatever we eat also, therefore we offer it to Krishna, right or not? Sometime in India this concept is there, no? Prasadam means something in the hand. Prasadam and whatever food they eat, that becomes different thing, you know, right or not? In temples it happens, right? Other day one person came to our ashram, so I told him, would you like to take prasadam? Yes, I would like to take. So he thought that prasadam means small little thing, you know, right? Not some sweet or something, some laddu or something. So in this way they separate that. But it's not like that. Everything is offered to Krishna, and we take the whatever Krishna mercifully gives us, we take it and be satisfied. That is our program. And our acharyas have made in our life that how to convert everything. Krishna is everything, our home, our family members, everything, our wealth, everything, Krishna is it. So keeping Krishna in the center of everything. So that is all discussed. That is all acharyas have given us guidelines to do that. So in this way, we should do this devotional service. And what is the necessity of, one topic Prabhupada discuss, what is the necessity of offering it to Krishna? Why we should offer it to Krishna? That, so one thing we discussed, bhakti means, love means, right or not? We have to, generally we would like to offer it to the person and take the remnants. So in Vedic culture, wife will eat the remnants of husband because that increases love between them. So similarly between devotee and the Lord. So we offer it to the Lord and take the remnants. So in this way, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hrudayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Premanjana churita. So because devotees have love for the Lord, so therefore they want to offer it to Krishna. So that is why we need to offer. And also, if we want to become free from the karmic reaction of the food and eating, so then we should offer it to Krishna. So this is not the highest reason. Highest reason is love for Krishna. We want to love Krishna, right or not? So that is the highest reason. In third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he says that santas, what is that? Yagya Shishtasino Santa Muchyante Sarvakil Vishay Bunjate Te Thvagam Papam Ye Pachante Atma Karanat. That those who are Santas, Santa means devotees, they take the remnants offered in the sacrifice. They take the remnants offered after offering to the Lord. So Prabhupada, he in the purport, this is 3.13 and 3.12. In the 13th verse purport, Prabhupada, he says that who is a devotee? He defines who is a devotee. Devotee means one who accepts the remnants of food offered to Krishna. He is a devotee. In other words, those who do not take prasadam, so they are non-devotees. Those who take prasadam, they are devotees. So this is definition of bhakti, bhakta. So there are many definitions of a devotee. In first chapter, if you see, one who is constantly thinking of Krishna is a devotee. So pure devotee are a devotee. Either while sitting, sleeping, walking, gudakesha, that word, you know, Prabhupada explains. So like that, there are different definitions of devotee. Who is a devotee? Right? So characteristics are, one who eats remnants offered to the Krishna, he is a devotee. Like that Prabhupada is. So that is based on yajna shishtasina santa. Santa, devotees, they take the remnants offered to Krishna. In this way, what happens? Muchyante sarvakhil vishaye. They become free from all the contaminations. So food is directly connected to consciousness. And whatever we eat, so accordingly our consciousness also would be there. So if you eat food products in mode of lower modes, then our consciousness will go in lower modes. So consciousness is connected to modes, gunas. Basically, contamination of consciousness, pollution of consciousness. Contamination or pollution of consciousness means that it is polluted by three modes of material nature. So it is polluted by three modes of material nature. Now Prabhupada, he gives example that water, when it is, you know, raining, it is raining, water when it is still in the air, it is pure. Of course, because of now pollution, they speak about acid rain. Wait a minute. So acid rain. Originally, rainwater was considered as pure. But when it comes in contact with the mud, then it becomes dirty. So similarly, our consciousness is pure. That is called as Krishna consciousness. That original consciousness, pure consciousness, is called as Krishna consciousness. Or when we speak about shine, means sunshine, we say, no? Sunshine. So shining means sunshine. Similarly, consciousness means Krishna consciousness. So in this world, shining is there because of sun. Therefore, when we say sunshine, we should understand it is, sorry, when we say shine, we should understand it is sunshine. Similarly, when we speak about consciousness, it should be Krishna consciousness. Because that is our original consciousness. That is our original true state of consciousness. But now consciousness is polluted by gunas, our contact with different modes. Sattva, Raja, Tama. And accordingly, our swabhava is formed, our psychophysical nature is formed, and then we act accordingly and we make karmas. So consciousness has to be purified. For that, especially eating, what we eat matters a lot. What we eat, how we eat, when we eat, all these things. It is told in the Vedic literature, ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddho dhruva smritihi smriti lambe sarva granthina vipramokshaha. When food is pure, then our consciousness or existence is pure. When existence is pure, then dhruva smritihi, then we develop spiritual intelligence. And when we have good intelligence and memory, so then automatically all the other senses become purified. Sarva granti nam vipramokshaha, then we attain liberation. So therefore what we are offering, what we are eating, we need to offer it to, ultimately to become completely, make food completely pure, we have to offer it to Lord Krishna. So Krishna takes away, he is Hari. Hari, Hari means one who takes away all our sins. So all our karmic reactions, karmic karma, he takes away. Therefore he is called as Hari. So he takes away. And in this way, when we take prasadam, then we also become purified. So therefore, there is necessity. Otherwise, what will happen? As Krishna says, that bhunjate te tvagam papam ye pachanti atma karanat. So those who cook for their own pleasure, they are eating sin only. So in that section, such people are called as thieves also, and they are called as sinful also, papis also. So different ways. Those who do not perform sacrifice, they are thieves, because we are taking facilities from the Lord. We are not acknowledging for that. So we become thieves and we become sinners. Ye pachanti atma karanat. So in this way, Lord Krishna explains the necessity of offering food to Krishna. Then if we need to offer to Krishna, food to Krishna, what we should offer? So what we should offer, that question, what should be offered? Here that, therefore Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Ye me bhakta prayachati. So Krishna is giving some idea. Later, of course, he explains food in mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. And meat, eggs, etc., they are considered as amedya. Later in 17th chapter, Lord Krishna explains. Amedya means untouchable. It cannot be touched. So it is untouchable. Previously, meat eaters were considered untouchables. Now meat eaters have come within our home, or we ourselves are eating meat. It has become so common now. So other day some devotee, he asked me a question. In Vedic culture, sinful people are, like now some devotee, Ayurvedic physician is there. Will he treat sinful people in Vedic culture like that? Devotee are there, Ayurvedic, because someone is suffering from suffering, right or not? You need to help people, those who are suffering, right? A devotee, Ayurvedic physician, will he serve sinful people in Vedic culture like that? Then I asked him, what do you know about Vedic culture? Vedic culture means hardly any sinful people would be there. What to speak of long back, if you read in first canto of Bhagavatam, in Parikshit Maharaj kingdom, there was not a single person who ate meat, who did intoxication, who did illicit sex, and who did gambling. What? Not a single person, one person. What to speak? Even in our childhood, we have seen that. If someone starts eating meat and drinking and all, it's a topic of hot issue among the people. Oh, now he has started eating, now he has started drinking, like that, you know. Now in this so-called education, people, educated people, they are so foolish. They don't know what is sin, what is piety, what is dharma, what is adharma, what is punya, what is papa. So this whole education brings up, so some, you know, just engages people in sinful activities. So Prabhupada used to challenge in the West, what is the use of your education? You are bringing up some hippies, he said. So like that, here we are just bringing up some Varna Sankara, right, through education. By birth, everyone is Shudra. Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskaro Bhave Dvija Veda Patet Vipra. So by training, they become Dvija, Vipra, Brahmana, like that. So what is the use of this education, which trains people to become thieves and rogues and sinful people, right or not? So many animals they are gobbling, you know, they are just gobbling animals. So meat eaters. So meat eating is amedya. Amedya means untouchable, it is. Such people are called as untouchables, aspushya. So this human rights and all this kind of things, they promote everyone is equal and all. Everyone should be embraced, everyone should, all this. So arrangement for sinful activities. Coming to the point that Krishna doesn't speak about eggs, meat, fish here. And in the schools also, in the name of all this vitamin, protein and all, they tell that you have to eat egg, fish, meat. They are trained to become meat eaters, mlechas, untouchables, sinners. So in this way, all this kind of education is there. But here Krishna, he says, and why we need to know why, what he likes to eat. This is bhakti. Anukullena krishnanusilanam bhaktir uttama. Uttama bhakti, shuddha bhakti means we should know what he likes. Right or not? Even traditionally in Indian families, wife would every day ask husband what he would like to eat. Right or not? Now if they cook, that is a big achievement. Of course, devotee women, they cook a lot. Our mothers here. So, that's how, that was the system. Prabhupada said that. So, wife would ask husband what he would like to eat. And that's how with Krishna also. We have to find what he likes, what Krishna likes. That is bhakti. Anukullena krishnano shilanam bhakti rotam. Anukullena. Offering what we like to Krishna and eating is like karma mishra, it is. Karma mishra bhakti it is. Shuddha bhakti means what Krishna likes to eat and we prepare and offer it to the Lord. In fact, Prabhupada, he says that we should offer Krishna very opulently and we ourselves should eat very simple, he says. Right or not? That's how Prabhupada, he says. Of course, other side also he encouraged. Prabhupada's mood, and if you see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mood, they are different in this way that he always trusts Bhakti Siddhanta, self-abnegation. So, renunciation, self-abnegation, austerity, sacrifice, like that. But Prabhupada, he encouraged people to enjoy Krishna consciousness, right or not? He himself, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, he would himself cook and feed all these hippie young boys and girls. And in this way, he made them to give up meat eating. Because there, you know, from childhood only they start eating meat. Smoking cigarette, drinking alcohol. Just like in India, people are addicted to drinking tea, coffee, you know. So there they are addicted to eating meat. Powdered meat is fed to the children in small age. And Prabhupada explains in his lectures that that father is smoking and he trains the son also. Okay, one pup, what they say? One pup. So like that. Or he is drinking, take you also, take little. In this way they are trained from childhood only, like that. So Prabhupada, he made them by offering them. So prasadam, Krishna prasadam. So we should find out what Krishna likes. That is shuddha bhakti, right or not? Nowadays we want to eat pizza, burger, what all manchuria, whatever. All these things cannot be cooked without meat, actually, if you see, you know, these things are. Now they have made the vegetarian version of all these things and offering it to Krishna. So why it is like that, why you may eat it, but of course we don't encourage, especially I don't encourage such things. Because that consciousness is connected there, you know, right or not? They are meat items actually. So although we may have made it as a vegetarian version of those things, but that consciousness is connected there, right? For instance, like you see these soya chunks, you know, almost they appear like, you know, so meat, you know, right around. So like that. Sometimes they eat devotees, it's okay. But like that, you know, consciousness is connected there, you know, right? So we should know what to offer, what not to offer to Krishna. Main principle is what pleases Lord Krishna. Anukulena Krishna, with anukula bhava, anukula bhava. That word is very important, because apparently we may do service, but not necessary that we may please Krishna. Or even Krishna may be pleased, but that may not be devotional service. So this point has to be understood. For example, if you see Chanura and Mushtika, they were fighting with Krishna. Krishna was enjoying it. He was very pleased because he is getting opportunity for satisfy his fighting spirit. But is it bhakti, Chanura and Mushtika? What they did was, it's not bhakti, because they do not have anukula bhava there. They are enemies of Krishna. They want to kill Krishna. Right or not? So this anukulena word is very, very important. And Mother Yashoda left child Krishna, where she was breastfeeding. She left to see the stove, milk on the stove. Apparently Krishna became angry. But this is devotional service. We worship Mother Yashoda for that. Because ultimately whatever she does in her life, it's all meant for pleasing Krishna. So this anukulya bhava, anukula bhava, that anukulena, that is very, very important. That has to be understood properly. So like that, we nowadays all modern things we cook and offer to Krishna. We should know from the Shastra what Krishna likes, what he used to. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written one song, in that he has described what Krishna eats. Bhogarati, we sing that, no? Right on. Like that. And Prabhupada also taught in the beginning to devotees. He taught everything. Krishna likes gulab jamun. Okay, he taught how to make gulab jamun. Krishna likes rasgullas. He made, he taught them how to make rasgullas. So in this way, Krishna, we should know what Krishna likes, and we have to prepare accordingly. And we don't discuss vegetarian, non-vegetarian, because they will have give their own definition of vegetarian. Yag is vegetarian, fish is vegetarian, or vegetarian yag or vegetarian fish or something like that they will bring up. It's according to three modes of material nature. In general, Lord Vishnu is offered because worship of Lord Vishnu is in mode of goodness, or it is transcendental. So mode of goodness and articles are so offered to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So there is, in deity worship, there is a whole section on that, selecting articles for offering to the Lord. So I forgot the Sanskrit word for that. So selecting the articles, we choose and we select. So, and offer it to the Krishna. And also we want to offer it to Krishna the best. There are many things there, seasonal fruits, seasonal vegetables, and not off season, you know, off season. Like it is said that if you eat mango after rainy season starts, then it is not good for health, you know. So like that it is told. So like that it is told there, seasonal fruits, seasonal vegetables has to be offered. Then quality, what quality of we offer to Krishna, that also matters. There was a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally come to eat in the house every day. Even though physically he is not present there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he is Supreme Lord. So he would personally come to eat in his house. And that devotee, he would choose best things and offer it to. So he would go far away where good things are available, very clean way, very neat way, he would bring and offer it to the Lord. in this way. So all these things are connected with our bhakti to the Lord, like that. If you grow yourself and offer it to Krishna, it is better than purchasing from supermarket and offering to Krishna, right or not? Right? Or if devotees have grown, if that which is grown by devotees and cooked by devotees, and then when it is offered by devotees, then that is prasadam or Krishna, like that. So bhakti doesn't mean like just present something as milk and food grains to Krishna or vegetables. So now all these things have changed, no? Everything. All the vegetables have changed, fruits have changed. So proper things have to be mode of. That means basically whatever food and all this available now, it is not in mode of goodness. It is. So in this way, this is all connected to bhakti. Love means like that it is. So patram pushpam palam toyam. Now we are also preaching from last 50 years, 60 years in ISKCON, right? So we build big, big temples, but we should offer good things to Krishna, right or not? Then that is our bhakti, right? So we have deities. It should not become superficial, our bhakti, right? Good milk, good grains, good vegetables, good fruits, like that. So that is what we offer to Krishna, what Krishna likes. So articles to be offered to Krishna. Then another point here is that Krishna says ashnami. Ashnami means, Prabhupada translates it as accepts it. Literal meaning, some acharyas have told that I eat it. In the lecture also Prabhupada explains that. So Krishna says, but Prabhupada, he has put it as accepts, because here if you see, patram pushpam palam toyam. Pal you can eat, toyam we drink, right? Or Krishna drinks. And flowers and leaves are, tulsi leaves are offered. Tulsi leaf also he eats. But they are offered to the lotus feet also, flowers and tulsi leaves. So now grammatically if you see that, it becomes wrong. If Krishna says that I eat the water, I eat flower, right or not? Grammatically it becomes wrong. Therefore Prabhupada has translated it as I accept it, like that he translates it as. But some acharyas explain that out of ecstasy, that he is so pleased with the devotee and devotion of devotee, so that even if a devotee offers flower also, Krishna eats that, like that, in ecstasy, you know, because he is so pleased with the devotee. So like that, they explain. So, and the point here is that this comes to another point, that whether definition of God, whether the God is person or impersonal. So Prabhupada met one Brahma Samaj, Brahmos, in Bengal. They are very widespread there. So, and he said, Swamiji, you all worship this God and offer food to God, because there they don't do, because all these so-called reform movements came in 19th century, 20th century beginning. They wanted to please Britishers. They wanted to adopt. They want to retain Hinduism in their Hindu background, but still want to show that they are also Western, little bit of, we are modern, upgraded. As though by adopting all these Western things or Christian ideas, we become upgraded or advanced. So some foolish ideas they brought in. So you don't need to worship deities, Murti Puja. They were against Murti Puja. Yeah, we have to We should not worship anyone as you put a make a statue of Gandhi or you know some other politician on the road circles. You see so many like that, huh? Right. So you don't have to do those things. Then, and you don't have to bring deity worship, or vigraha seva of the Lord to their level, you know, that level, right or not? So. So they thought, oh, you are all offering bhoga. Does God eat that? This stone eats that? Like that. So that guy. So Prabhupada says, this loper, he says, Krishna says, I eat it, and this loper says that God does not eat it. Whom to believe? We believe what Krishna says or what this loper says? Like that. Prabhupada explains in the lecture. And here Krishna says, I will eat it. I'll eat it, he says. So God is not impersonal, he is a person and he has senses. And how he eats? Sometimes someone may say that, oh, you all keep in front of the Lord and it is as it is, right or not? It is not eaten. Why we expect that Lord should eat the way we eat? No, we eat, right or not? This is Kupa Manduka Nyaya. When we eat, then prasadam gets over, right or not? That substance gets over, eatable gets over. So, but when Lord eats, not necessary that it should get over, right? So he's eating and our eating should not be the same, right? When we think that it should be according to our circumstances or according to our eating, Lord also should eat the way we eat, then we become that frog in the well, right? So Lord eats by glancing. He can eat by glancing. So we every day sing, no? Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujjvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. It is told that every limb of his body can perform the activity of other limb. So when he breathes out, he doesn't have to speak Vedas. When he breathes out, Vedic hymns come from his breathing. Alright? Asya mahatasya bhutasya nishvasitam yetad rigvedo yajurveda sama veda tarvangirasaha. Brahadaranyaka Upanishad, it is told that he breathed out all these Vedic hymns. So like that, when Lord breathes out, so Vedic hymns come. He doesn't have to speak, open his mouth and speak. Just when he breathes, all the Vedic hymns come out. So there are different descriptions how Vedas came into existence. This is one from Brahadaranyaka Upanishad. It is relevant here. And here Prabhupada, in the purport, he gives example that how that as soon as he desires, let there be creation, then there will be creation. Saikshata, saijjata, there is also verse from in Chandogya Upanishad. That he glances and immediately there would be creation. Or all living forms, they take birth, right or not. So here, we see that birth takes place in a different way. And there, when Lord wants to give birth to all these species, different forms of life, just he has to glance on material. So in this way, like Brahma, you see, Brahma, Tene Brahma Radayadi Kave. The Brahma was born on the navel of the Lord, on the lotus flower. So Prabhupada, he says that Lord did not want Lakshmi Devi's help to give birth. Bartu Brahma, like that he says. So in this way he can perform all these activities. So philosophy behind prasadam is that Krishna can eat just by glancing also. So in this way Lord is a person. He has senses. He can eat. He eats. And he has his likes, you know. He likes rasgulla, he likes gulab jamun, like that. So in this way he is also a person. That is also we understand from this verse. And so like that. And it is also said, Lord likes cooked items a lot. Sometimes these people may do some so-called, what is that, raw food movement. Eat raw food. Someone came and told. Prabhupada was in a park, something, someone came, Swamiji, you introduced this raw food in your movement. Then he showed to some monkeys, see, these monkeys are just eating raw food all the time. They didn't become purified, still they are jumping from one one branch to another. You may take some salads, I am not against it. So, in this way, we have to cook for the Lord and offer it to the Lord with devotion. And we should also know that Lord is not in need of anything. He has so many servants, so many people to cook and feed Him. By cooking and offering to the Lord, we get benefited. We develop love for Lord, we become free from karmic reactions. And our consciousness becomes pure. So He is not in need of anything. He is not starving. If we do not offer to Him, He does not starve and die. Okay, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions, comments? No questions?
One thing I was thinking, nowadays, it's not very easy to even know what our food contains. They may have put
pesticides. That also.
Only
pesticides, they may mix amedya, untouchable things in the food, food items. They say that all this ghee which comes and they mix with all this animal, what is that?
Animal fat
and all those things. We don't know what they do actually.
Sometime back, Sachinand Prabhu was bringing flowers, and Mataji used flowers, she was eating, and with just same hand she was giving.
Some things, therefore in the end we purify it. There are mantras for that, Om Astraya Phat, like that, and there are mudras to purify the things and all those things. Some things. That's why devotees only should grow, no? Devotees only should grow, devotees should offer. You cannot fit bhakti culture into all this whole modern demonic society, sinful society, mlecha society, degraded society, right? So city means compromise. Yeah.
Some people are arguing that the cord is in bacteria. Why if you take this cord?
This bacteria, that and all, that word jugglery is according to their idea, no? Right or not? Shastra prescribes what should be offered. That's why I told we don't discuss in terms of vegetarian, non-vegetarian, bacteria, chromosomes, genes. And all, right? We discuss in terms of sattva, raja, tama. It's a food in mode of goodness. In fact, it is a miracle food, cow products, cow milk and cow products.
Yes.
Nectar.
Yogurt has iodine. How iodine comes into yogurt? Cow eat only grass, but cow yogurt has iodine.
Again, this iodine discussion is all strange ideas, no? Right? Or not? Coming from modern education. Right or not? Iodine, bacteria. Yeah, we may explain that, but we say ayu sattva bala arogya. What is that? Preeti vivardhana. Food in mode of goodness increases ayu sattva. And what are the food in mode of goodness? That based on that we discuss like that. Bhagavad Gita as that is.
I have seen many, even outside temples and even some ISKCON temples, there is a lot of chili.
That point also I wanted to. So, too pungent, too salty, dry, putrid, they are all come under a mode of passion and ignorance. too much chin, pungent and chilly like that. Here in Telangana area, people eat a lot of chili. In one place, they had made this bitter gourd. They had put a lot of sugar in that sweet they had made. So, because the deity there, Kaliya Krishna, is a small boy. Krishna is, so he cannot eat bitter, therefore devotees had made it sweet. Like that we should have sentiments for the Lord, not that we like chili and put a lot of chili and make it. So Lord may not accept it. That's all.
Is it other than goodness, mode of goodness if we offer, so Krishna may not be accepted?
Because worship of Lord is there in on the platform of mode of goodness. Right or not? That is also discussed, no, in the 17th chapter. Worship in three modes.
Yes, yes.
That also is discussed, right? When Krishna was there were buffaloes. It's not that evolution took place and buffaloes came in evolution. Even in Krishna's group of cows also some buffaloes were there. Cowherd boys and Krishna, they use buffalo horn. No? And for what they used buffalo milk, that has to be understood. Somewhere I heard they made curd of that. And we can offer buffalo curd like that. Somewhere I heard it. Milk we should not. Milk means cow milk. Yeah. So what are the uses of buffalo milk has to be understood. But that is not the main portion. They are simply very insignificant portion. In Kali Yuga, because mode of ignorance increases, all the animals in ignorance also increase. You know, animals in mode of ignorance also increase. What is the idea? So, cows, you will see buffaloes, but you will not find cows at all. Or they make jersey, that is also like that. That is also cow, but you know, that is in mode of ignorance. Like that it is. These fellows, they do, no? All these idiot things, this research and breeding of such cows and all kinds of nonsense they do. So Prabhupada said, no, over intelligent, shoot them or hang them. All these fellows, these researchers should be hanged first. Should be hung.
So those are made up out of like over intelligence,
Prabhupada?
Out of the cross breed.
Yes.
They want more.
It's for production of meat, a lot of meat. Meat industry. Okay.
Yes. Yes. I call
you. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.